The Ophelia Girls by Jane Healy. Read by Alex Dunmore.
Maeve is on her bedroom floor, remembering what it was like to die. She has arranged her body in a slump, like she has fallen in a faint and is listening to the muffled noises of the other occupants of the house. Her mother corralling her two younger siblings, the six-year-old twins, who are talking loudly about their day at a petting farm, and her father, home early from work. She wonders how long it will take for someone to walk past her door and find her, and whether they will be concerned, whether they will rush to her with a cry and try to wake her, or know that she is only pretending. She would prefer the first, and feels guilty for that, guilty enough to eventually sit up, her hip sore from the thin carpet, her eyes adjusting to the light of the summer afternoon, as if she has been buried underground. This is her first summer free of hospital for many years, her first summer being well after the infections and complications from her bone marrow transplant 2 years ago. She is an ordinary 17-year-old girl now, not a sickly creature bound to bed, not punctured by needles and ports, not observed and watched and studied, but is sick of her to miss it sometimes, her sickness, to miss the attention, the love, the care, the doting. Perhaps she came back wrong when they brought her back from the brink that day. Perhaps the core of her is spoiled, like a book that fell in the bath, whose pages are swollen and gummed together. Death makes you glad to be alive, makes you take stock of all the things you have, the blessings, her father said a few months ago, after her grandfather's funeral, when he had slumped three glasses of wine down at the kitchen table in the pokey flat in London where Maeve's family had lived so she could be closer to the hospital. The one they left for her grandfather's house in the countryside and its 27 rooms and rambling gardens. But death didn't do that for Maeve. It only made life feel more fragile, tenuous. Every death scene in every film and show she had watched and book she had read, where the dying said their piece, where they felt comforted by the loved ones around them, where they fought the coming darkness, was replaced by a whirl of noise and pain and confusion that tumbled into an anonymous nothingness, a welcoming blackness. It frightened her how easy it was to die, and she kept wanting to return to that day in the hospital bed, her body weak from the cancers, her lungs liquid with pneumonia, and do it differently. Feel something more than tiredness, than a body coming to its conclusion. How was she supposed to face the world now, or look forward to her future, when she knew how it would one day end? A summer here will be good for you, her father had said, when he helped unpack her belongings in the bedroom at the back of the house, with the bay window looking out over the walled garden, the fields beyond, and, in the distance, the woods down below in the valley. You'll get colour in your cheeks. You'll remember what it's like to live again, to be wild and free like a teenager should be, he added with a wink, before hurrying to his phone to answer a work call.